ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، so to continue with our readings of Matan of Usul al-Thalatha by the great Imam al-Mujaddid, the reviver Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullahu ta'ala, then we had reached the point in the book in which he had stated, اعلم رحمك الله أنه يجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة تعلم هذه الثلاث مسائل والعمل بهن. He said, know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that it is obligatory upon every Muslim and every male Muslim and female Muslim that they learn these three matters and they act upon it. That they learn these three matters and act upon it. And we mentioned that it's not enough that one simply learns something in the religion, as the Imam mentioned in the beginning of the book, that you must not only that you have ilm, not only that you have correct knowledge of something, but that you also must act upon it. So he repeated here that it's obligatory upon every male and female Muslim that they learn these three issues and they act upon it. And the first, which we covered, of course, is al-ula, أن الله خلقنا ورزقنا ولم يتركنا هملا بل أرسل إلينا رسولا فمن أطاعه دخل الجنة ومن عصاه دخل النار. ودليل قوله تعالى إنا أرسلنا إليكم رسولا شاهدا عليكم كما أرسلنا إلى فرعون رسولا فعصى فرعون الرسول فأخذناه أخذا وبيلا. That is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the one who created us and he provided for us, and he did not leave us heedlessly, but rather he sent to us a messenger. So whoever obeys him enters Jannah, and whoever disobeys him enters the hellfire. So this is that first obligation upon every Muslim to know and to act upon. That it's not only that we recognize the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but likewise that we have ta'i of him, that we follow him, and whoever does that, then their end result, inshallah, is Jannah. And whoever disobeys him, then he will enter the hellfire due to that proof which we had read previously, and the many other proofs which have come in the authentic texts of the Quran and Sunnah. The second point, which we covered likewise, is that أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى أَن يُشْرَكَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٌ فِي عِبَادَتِهِ لَا مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبٌ وَلَا نَبِيٌ مُرْسَلٌ. Secondly, that Allah is not pleased that shirk be made with him, with anyone in his worship. So when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is no way, no situation ever that Allah will ever be pleased with partners being associated in worship with him. لا ملك مقرب ولا نبي مرسل. So not even a close angel and not a prophet that was sent. Not even a close angel. And we pointed out how the Imam, he didn't say not even an angel, but he said not even a close angel. So shirk may not be made by worshiping any angels at all, and not even those who are the best of the angels, such as Jibril alayhi salam. So even those who have more virtue than the rest, then still there is no worship of them which can ever be correct. Just like with the prophets, that even the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Muhammad, the last and final prophet, the seal of the prophets, if anyone was to associate any worship of Allah by including the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in that worship, then there is no chance ever that Allah would be pleased with that in any way. So if we have reached today the third point, in which the Imam, he said, "Athalitha." So this is the third of 3 points, which he has mentioned that is obligatory upon every Muslim and Muslimah to learn and act upon. إن من أطاع الرسول ووحد الله لا يجوز له موالاة من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كان أقرب قريب. So he said, rahimahullah, that whoever follows the Messenger and establishes the Tawheed of Allah, singles out Allah in worship, then it is not permissible for him to have muwalat. And this muwalat, this is a religious allegiance. It is a religious allegiance, and we'll get into the meaning of that and how the scholars explain that shortly. So it is not permissible for him to have this muwalat to whoever is against Allah and His Messenger, even if they were the closest of those who are close. So even out of all of those people that are close to you, then even the closest amongst them to you, then it is not permissible to have this mawalat or this religious allegiance to them. وَدَلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the proof for this is the statement of Allah, that which means, or that, we'll read the ayat first. لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه ويدخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون. So that which means that you will not find a people who believe in Allah and the last day that they have a religious love for whoever is against Allah and His Messenger, even if they were their parents or their children or their brothers or their relatives. Those are whom Allah has written Iman upon their hearts and aided them by a ruh min. And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, he says this ruh here, then it is quwa, that Allah aids them with a strength from Him, and he will enter them into Jannat, into the gardens of paradise, under which rivers flow, and they will remain therein forever. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. They are the Hizb of Allah. They are the party or group of Allah. Indeed, the group or party of Allah, indeed, they are the ones who are the Muflihun. They are the ones who are successful. They are the ones who are successful. So, this third point, which the Imam mentioned as an obligation upon every Muslim, then we must believe in it and act upon it in the correct way. Just like every other matter in the Sharia of Islam, that there is no correct understanding of it unless it goes back to the correct understanding of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the righteous Salaf who came after the companions. So the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed they are our primary reference, our primary source of understanding the texts of the Quran and Sunnah. And likewise, every Imam from the people of Sunnah that followed the way of the companions from their time up until today. So we continue to refer back to the scholars of Ahl Sunnah in every time, in every place, so we must understand the text of the Quran and Sunnah in the correct way. And it is never permissible for us to use our own intellects or refer back to the intellects of other deficient minds, those people that seek to understand the texts of the Quran and Sunnah based on their desires, or based upon the whisperings that they may have gotten from the shayateen, whether it's the shayateen of the ins of mankind or of the jinn. So indeed for us is to return back to how the scholars of Islam, those scholars of the people of Sunnah, explain these matters in the correct way, so that we may understand what is truly intended, and that we may apply them in its correct light, and that we may be far away from applying them incorrectly, how the people of innovations and desires do. So this matter is a matter of great importance. As the Imam said, that whoever follows the Messenger and singles out Allah in worship, then it is not permissible for him to have mu'alat. It's not permissible for him to have allegiance to whoever is against Allah and his Messenger, even if they are the closest of those who are close. So indeed, this matter is the matter or the issue of al-hubb fillah wal-bughd fillah, that this relates to the matter of loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. And this has a great status in the iman of a Muslim. Indeed, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Awthaq or al-iman al-hubb fillah wal-bughd fillah." That the strongest binding matters of iman is loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. And as we stated, that this love and hate must be in accordance with the Sharia and not be in accordance with one's own desires or their own twisted interpretation. So what is this mawalat? What is this allegiance? So this allegiance, as Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, as he explained, that mawalatul kufar takun bimunasaratihim wa mu'awanatihim ala ma hum alayhi min al-kufr wal-dhalal. So he said, rahimahullah, that having allegiance to the kufar, then this happens by aiding them and helping them upon what they are doing from kufr and dhalal. That if you seek and you love in your heart, that you help them upon their kufr and you help them upon misguidance, then this is having allegiance to them. This is how the great scholar Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen explained. And it is important that we understand that this means that this is when someone has this mawadda or this love that is for their religion, that you love that their religion have strength and you love that their religion has success over the Muslims. And it's not that many of the people of innovations and desires of our times throughout history, but we'll focus on what's happened in our times because it is something that many of us had lived through, and because this was a great problem that came about and a great fitna that the Muslims were afflicted with from the angle of those innovated Islamic political groups and parties. So when different Muslim governments sought aid for different matters that were of worldly benefit, so if they needed, for example, military assistance, or if they needed certain relations as it related to business transactions or agreements between certain governments, then you find the people of innovation and desires, they come out and they try and use this ayat, this verse, in an incorrect way and in a corrupt way, and they try and accuse the Muslim rulers of having an allegiance to the kufar and having a love for the kufar just because they do these matters as it relates to worldly benefits for the Muslims, and it results in protection of the Muslims or other benefits. And we find that if we look back, from the best examples is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. As Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, that indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah the best example. indeed what you have in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the best example. So if we look at the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, then we see that indeed he had treaties and agreements with the kuffar at different times. And likewise, he did business transactions with the kuffar at different times. And likewise, as is clear from the Book of Allah, the permissibility of a Muslim man to marry a kitabiyah, meaning a woman from the Jews and the Christians. So all of these matters are nothing to do with this mawalat, nothing to do with this allegiance or having this religious allegiance based on their religion, or having this love for them based on their religion. But rather that which is necessary and obligatory is hate what they are upon from kufr and shirk. And we hate that they do these things. But that should never stop us or prevent us from being just. Can never stop us from and prevent us from being just. And we must recognize that the existence of a natural love, as the scholars mention, then this does not negate this, and it does not apply to this. So, for example, that we mentioned that one may have a wife that is a Jew or a Christian from the Yahud or Nasara, then it is not necessary and it is not comprehensible that he would be treating his wife in a hateful way. But rather, he's placing his children in her lap. He's placing his children in her lap, and he must deal with her as he would deal with his wife. So there's nothing from the Sharia that is against one having this type of natural love that would come about, even though she disbelieves in Islam and she disbelieves in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that which is obligatory is that the Muslim still hates what they are upon, as far as it as and everything that relates to their religion, and that we don't aid these people upon their kufr and shirk. Likewise, so we'll like to read, and we don't want to take too much time, but some beautiful comments and advice from Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan Hafidhahullah, from the scholars of Saudi Arabia in our times. And he mentions beautifully how the kuffar are to be dealt with and how our interactions must be with the kuffar, because indeed in these times there are agreements of trust and agreements of security, and it is not permissible for any Muslim to go beyond bounds and use these type of verses or other than them to attack the kuffar without right, or to commit any types of crimes or terrorism or any of these type of evil actions. So we'll read some of what he said, Hafidhahullah Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, that he said that the killing of one who is in a situation of trust or safety is impermissible, it's haram. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever kills someone that has an agreement, then he will not smell the scent of Jannah. He will not smell the scent of Jannah, even though its scent can be found from the distance of 40 years. So even though the scent of Jannah can be smelled from 40 years away, whoever kills someone that has any type of agreement with the Muslims, then they will not smell that they will not smell that scent of Jannah, even though it can be smelled from 40 years away. And this shows the great distance that one places himself from the pleasure of Allah if he opposes the Sharia and takes matters into his own hands and based upon his twisted understanding. And will the Sheikh likewise, he will explain what are these examples of people that have an agreement with the Muslims. So any type of situation in which one has a passport for a country, they're a citizen of a country, or they are given permission to enter a country. All of these are examples of agreements of trust and agreements of security and matters which completely prohibit ghadr, or treachery. So it, indeed, treachery is from the kaba'ir dhunub, is from the major sins in which a Muslim may not transgress and attack anyone. So he continued, hafidhullah, that because this person that has an agreement with the Muslims, then he is in the dhimma of Allah. He is under the protection of Allah and the protection of the Muslims. So whoever kills this person, then he has been deceptive and he has been treacherous to the protection of Allah and the protection of the Muslims. And this mu'ahid, or this person of agreement, then it encompasses anyone who is given permission to enter the lands of the Muslims in a safe way. And whoever enters the lands of the Muslims by their permission, such as through an embassy or other than that, to bring some type of message or for any other reason like that, then indeed his blood must be preserved. He must be protected. And likewise, this encompasses everyone who their land has an agreement with the Muslims, even if they were in their own land. So if there is some type of agreement with between the Muslims and the kuffar, then indeed it is obligatory upon the Muslims that they have wafa, that they fulfill that agreement. With the kuffar, it is the kuffar in the lands of the Muslims, or if they are in the lands of the kuffar. So this wafa bil ahd, this fulfilling the promise, then indeed it is from that which is obligatory, as Allah said, wa ofu bil ahd, inna al-ahda kana mas'ula. So Allah said, so fulfill that agreement. For indeed, the agreement is that which is asked upon, or asked about. Indeed, these agreements are that which is asked about. So upon us is to be careful in these matters, and that we return back to the scholars of the Sunnah to understand these matters, and that we never open our ears to the likes of the innovative Islamic political groups and parties, the Jama'at, when they speak about these matters and encourage people to act upon emotions or act upon any type of violence. Likewise, the Sheikh was asked regarding the situations in which someone is given an aman, or given this situation of being in a state of trust or a state of security. So he said that if the kuffar are allowed to enter our lands, then they're in a state of aman, they're in a state of safety. And if we give them a visa, then likewise, this is a contract of safety. So he's a person under safety, and every kafir who is in the lands of the Muslims, by the permission of the Muslims, or from some of the Muslims, then indeed he is mustatman hatta yakhruj. Then indeed he is in a state of being in safety until he goes. Even if it's only some of the Muslims that gave him permission, then this is an agreement of trust and security which is not permissible to go beyond bounds regards. And indeed it is something that we believe that we would be asked about Yawm al-Qiyamah, that Allah will ask us about these agreements of trust and security and our responsibility to preserve them. So indeed, the dhimma of the Muslims is one. The dhimma of the Muslims is one. So even if a single Muslim gave the kuffar a impression that they would be in a situation of safety, then that dhimma or that responsibility of protection and trust is upon all of the Muslims. Just as if a Muslim gives the impression when he's going to the lands of the kuffar that if the kuffar and he accept that entrance, then the person is then under this contract to be in a state of peace and to not do any type of treachery towards them. And we'll finish by mentioning this point that he says, Rahimahullah, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, and this is appropriate to mention here, as we had spoken about those jama'at or the innovated Islamic political groups and parties that try and incite violence and try and incite treachery and try and incite transgression. So he said, Hafidhullah, Allah preserve the Shaykh, and he said, oh my brothers, he said, when has it been before that fatwa is fawda? When has it been before that giving religious verdicts has become this type of fawda or this type of chaos? And it has become that everyone gives these, or that everyone is gone to ask for fatwa. Everyone is gone to ask, be asked about these questions. He said, as if the ummah is being wasted, as if the Muslim ummah is being wasted by these people that are being gone to for these religious verdicts because they bring about this fawda, they bring about chaos. He says, Al-fatwa laha rijaluha wa laha ulama'uha fayurja fil fatwa ila ahl al-ilm wa rijalu al-fatwa al-mu'tamidin al-mashhudu lahum bil-ilm wa taqwa. So he said, Hafidhullah, then indeed this fatwa or these religious verdicts, then they have their men who are known and they have their scholars. So for fatwa, then they should only be taken back or they should only be gone to Ahlul Ilm for. And the men of fatwa who are relied upon, then they are those who are known. They are those who are known for their knowledge and taqwa. So they are not people that are hidden away. They are not people that are in hiding in the mountains somewhere or out in the desert and no one knows about them. But rather, the people of fatwa who are trustworthy, who are known to be upon ilm and taqwa by that which is apparent, then indeed they are known. They are known. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that there will not cease to be a group from my ummah clearly apparent upon the truth. That there will not cease to be a group from my ummah clearly apparent upon the truth. They will not be harmed by those who do not aid them, nor by those who oppose them. So this is a promise revealed by Allah to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed it in this authentic hadith, that the people of truth are clear and apparent, and they're not those who are hidden and in hiding and nobody knows about them and knows about their true situation. And he said, Rahimahullah, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, and as for that everyone gives fatwa and that people are killed due to the result of that, and that which Allah has made haram is being made permissible due to these fatwa, he says, فَهَذِهِ فَوْضَى وَفَسَادٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ, then indeed this is chaos. This is chaos and it is corruption in the earth. Indeed this is chaos and this is corruption in the earth. So indeed that is what is brought about when people follow their desires and when people follow the people of bid'ah, the people of innovation and desires, the people of the jama'at, the innovative Islamic political groups and parties, rather than returning back to those scholars of Ahl Sunnah, those who convey what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was truly upon, and his noble companions radiallahu anhum. So we'll continue inshallah this tremendous book in the next lesson. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.